Colossians 1, verse 9. I'll start at the very first of the verse. You know, I covered last week the first phrase of it regarding prayer. So, Colossians 1, verse 9. Paul said, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Let's pray. What a great prayer this is, Lord, where people are praying always for things. That's fine. You told us we could, and you've encouraged it. But, Lord, that we would get that which is spiritually valuable, which applies in all places at all times to our heart and soul and to the benefit of others. And we pray, Lord, that for ourselves, even as Paul prayed, Lord, may we understand it as we look at it now in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the very valid complaints that people have about education, and I understand, and I've talked to some of you students, you've only got 2 weeks left to summer. And I'm sorry, it'll pass. You'll get through the summer. But education has gone through some difficult things because education has turned to more of a theory thing. Now, education's changed a lot since we were in school. Y'all would know this. We used to be more proficient, I think, at reading, writing, and arithmetic. And today, you know, kids often have been found not to be able to read. You kids can read, I know. But often you're unable to read, but you do know that there are more than two genders. And, you know, there are all kinds of immorality that's posted and taught. So it's different. Even in my days, last century, we asked the teacher, "What was algebra for? What are we going to use this for?" And I told you what she said. There are two reasons you have algebra: for the test and for college. That's all. So we couldn't understand what the point of it was. It was seemingly meaningless, without meaning and without purpose. You know, it's similar today. Now, with the Southern Baptist counting things, that's another thing. Counting numbers, it doesn't tell anything. You don't know anything about the health of a church by the numbers. Now, we love more people. Sometimes churches want less people, believe me. But the numbers don't say anything. So a graduation certificate can be very valuable. But in itself, it doesn't say anything unless you've actually learned and applied the knowledge that you have. It'd be kind of like learning the language of hamsters. What would we do with it? What do hamsters even say? If we learn the language of hamsters, would we benefit, or society would benefit? I don't know. So learning is an endless pursuit. Ecclesiastes 12, Solomon says, "Further, my son, be admonished by these, of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh." Some of the people who know the least write the most books. And it's a wearisome thing when you realize it's just a bunch of opinions that people offer. Mere facts are pointless except in a trivia game. I don't know if those are so popular anymore. Over time, many Jews took the Sabbath. They kept the Sabbath, and the Sabbath was for their benefit. Stop working. Have a day for, you know, of rest and for the Lord. And we have that in the Lord's Day. But over time, they made the Sabbath about the Sabbath, not about man, not about the benefit of man. So when Jesus came along, they got mad at him for healing on the Sabbath because they had made the Sabbath a thing in itself. So education has become a thing in itself. But true education is applied. Reading and writing and arithmetic and history and science, all those things should be applied. And by the way, a lot of people who teach science on the university level, they don't know the first basics of science. But they're in a higher level of higher institution of learning. So Paul's prayer here is an application of what we see above, where the Colossians have believed for this reason, verse 9. For this reason. What reason? Well, we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. So faith, hope, and love. They have borne fruit of salvation. Now that they've been saved, he prays for them. I bet you pray for people that never grow. I bet you pray for people that profess to be Christians and never grow. They say they know the Lord, but they never grow. They never change. You don't see them in the Word. You don't see them learning more. Well, it's because probably they're not saved. When you have a for this reason here, it's because they've been saved and now they have faith, hope, and love, and you can work with that. But you can't work with making a person more like Jesus if they don't know Jesus. So a Christian has everything necessary. Look at 2 Peter 1:3 if you're looking at the scripture sheet. We've been given everything in Christ, seeing that his divine power has granted us to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, Jimmy Swaggart doesn't say that. Jimmy Swaggart said you needed another punch from God. Oral Roberts said that too. Usually you got the benefit if you sent them money. Then you got the punch. That verse says you got everything in Christ. Everything. If you want to be godly, if you want to be righteous, if you want to know the Lord, if you want to be wise and all those things, then you have that in Christ. And he goes on in 2 Peter 1:5 to apply. Now, for this very reason, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, in your moral excellence knowledge, your knowledge self-control, your self-control perseverance, your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and your brotherly kindness love. See, all that is to be applied. Nobody is told in Scripture to learn the facts and do nothing with them. They're applied. That's what we're dealing with in this prayer. Faith, hope, and love, and then you go on into life. Now, we looked at the effectiveness of prayer last week, and I want to ask today, what kind of brain power does a Christian have? What kind of brain power should you expect? Modern church often divides people, in people like me, teachers, and then people who just are in the church, as though we have different levels of capability. There's not that. We have that just by being people, but every person in the church can know as much as any other person. You do not have to, you know, have a Bible college degree or a seminary degree. You can study the Word of God. Dwight Stone never went to school, Bible school. He knew a whole lot, because he studied. So what kind of brain power should you expect? Well, you're the pastor. You know everything. Well, of course I do. But it wouldn't be because I was a pastor, and I wish I did know everything. Let's first of all look at the hope of fullness. Paul's prayer is what the Christian life is, a fullness. The Christian life is described as fullness. The Christian life is not an empty popcorn bowl. It's a full popcorn bowl with butter. The Bible says that without God, we are hopeless. Without hope and without God in the world. If you don't know the Lord, you're empty. So Christians have fullness. Ephesians 3:19, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Doesn't give you half measures. Ephesians 4:11. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastor teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Look at this. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Every one of us, every one of you. Don't say, well, I'm not in full-time ministry. So, is the same thing about that. You can know. Now, make sure you know the truth, but you can know the fullness of the knowledge that God gives us in His Word. We're supposed to be that. We're supposed to be live an abundant life. John 10:10, Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus came for you to have an abundant life. Not just the church officials, you, to live abundantly. We're to be out of our hearts flow rivers of living water. John 7:38, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Is that what flows out of your heart? Rivers of living water, that's what Jesus said he would give to those who believe in him. Being filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Our life as a Christian is one of fullness. You should have a up to the top. A fullness. There was a commercial when I was a kid. I was just astonished by it. I think it was a coffee commercial. Some of you may remember that I don't know what the pitch was, that you got more cups in that thing than most coffee canisters gave you. So they showed on the TV, and I saw it with my own eyes. They filled the coffee cup up above the rim that far. And it didn't spill it. Had to be real, right? Filled it. I think it was fill it to the rim with brim. Brim's a fish, right? Fill it to the rim with brim. To show you that you didn't just get with their coffee a cup of coffee. You got over a cup of coffee without spilling any on the table. Well, with Christianity, it's fullness. But consider the low aim of so many who profess Christ. Do you find when people say they're Christians that they are in dogged pursuit of God? Do you find that they can't get enough of the Bible? Do you find that they're always learning, always growing, always reaching? We have a professionalism spirit in the church where only a few people are expected to do that. God expects all of us, every person, to know the Word of God. But people who are aiming low, they don't want to know more about Christ. They're bored by Christ. They don't want to engage in Christian fellowship. That's not what they're interested in. They want to be recognized as Christians merely by saying they're Christians. They don't want to show it. They don't want to bear fruit. And they say that they stay the same year after year. There are so many people who make a profession, who make a decision, they never change. They're the same from one year to the next, and that is not a Christian quality. There are people who don't want Jesus. Christians are to aim high, achieve fullness. The will of God inspires us to it. When I was a kid and we went out, and I always wanted a toy. I wanted my parents to buy me a toy. Your parents ever get that? You go somewhere, buy me something. Mostly it was no. The best times when it said, well, pick you something out. Boy, okay. When my dad or my mom said, go ahead and pick you something out, I was all over that store with hope. I knew that my prayer was answered. When I picked whatever I picked, I would have that. That was great. This is the way it is with God's will. God wants us to aim high. God wants us to achieve fullness. So when we seek that, we have confidence that God will give that. Aiming high is encouraging because we've been encouraged by God. There are things that discourage people because they can't get it. We can get this. So Paul's constant prayer is meaningful. It's going to work. It encourages us to seek the Lord. Now, secondly, filled with the knowledge of God's will. So we get to the prayer. And it says that Paul's praying that we would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So filled is what I looked at first. The knowledge of his will. Our focus is on these three: knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. You know the difference in those? They go together, and they also have distinctives. Doc, remember, said, know the will of God, do the will of God, love the will of God. Those are our responsibility to the truth, to the will of God. So we know the will of God from the Bible. Now, there's a new trend that's been going on for years, and I've mentioned it before, where people do not find the will of God from the Bible. They find it from their feelings. You tell someone what the Bible says, they will later say, well, they just felt like they should do this. Who cares how you felt? It's not about feelings. The bank says, do not rob the bank. You go into it, well, I just felt like I needed some money, so I went in and got. Who cares what you feel like? Your child is, you tell your child to be home by 10 o'clock, your child comes home at 11 o'clock. He says, I just felt like I should stay out longer. Well, your parent doesn't care how you feel, and you're about to feel something else, probably. At least you used to be. It's not about feeling. People are putting feeling over the Bible. You can take people direct verses from the Bible, and they don't feel like it. Who cares how you feel? The course of Scripture, the order of Scripture is you do the will of God, then you feel good about it. Not the other way around. That was Cain's problem. Cain felt like he would kill Abel. The Lord told him, if you do what's right, you'll feel better. You'll feel like you're not going to kill Abel. But he didn't do that. So this thing about feeling, people are leaning on feeling. And like it's good. We're supposed to say, oh, well, if you felt like it. I know the Bible says this, but if you felt different, you'll never hear me say that. Knowledge is the first step. I went walking yesterday. And, I mean, David probably knows what some of these things mean, but they were painting symbols all over the road. They ran fiber optic cable through the neighborhood. They got all these things. It looks like, you know, crop paintings, you know, that they get from the. It's got, some of them have three lines and they're arrows. And some of them will say something. That one says, oh, wow, over on River Brookside. I don't know what that was about. There's all these symbols and things going on. I have no idea what they mean. If I were to understand that, and I know somebody does, they know what it means and they know what to do with it. Well, that's knowledge. Knowledge is, you know, we understand what it says. We acquire information. The whole process is knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And often, especially in Proverbs, Proverbs will say knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, and just include the whole, all three of them in one word, because they all go together. If you have knowledge, understanding, and wisdom go along with it. If you have wisdom, knowledge and understanding go with that. So they're all three together. So knowledge is the acquisition of information. If you get money, for example, then you acquire money. Now, what do you do with it? Well, people don't usually have a problem with that. But that's the application. Knowledge is knowing what God is like. So people also have feelings about God. They say, well, I think God is like this. I think God is like that. Who cares what you think? The Bible tells us how God is. Oh, I don't think God would judge me for that. Well, look in the Bible, does he? I don't think God would, you know, condemn me for. Well, look in the Bible, does he? So we have to know what God is like, knowing we are created by God. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of the big science guys don't know that. They think we just popped up, you know, came out of nowhere. One day I'm going to get up and look out, and there's that Dodge Charger sitting in the driveway. Where did it come from? It just popped up. This is the way science is being used today. They're not really scientists. They don't know we're even created by God. Knowing God's law, what does God like? Well, we find out what God is like. We find out what God likes. Does God like this that I'm doing? Does God like this that I'm doing? Well, we need to do what God likes. It's a thing of acquiring knowledge. Knowing about sin and righteousness and how to deal with our sin and how to gain righteousness. Knowledge is the foundation for walking in the will of God. Your mom tells you to clean your room. It doesn't mean what you think it means. It doesn't mean take all the stuff in the room and stuff it under the bed. That's not what she has in mind. So you better find out what she has in mind. Knowing the will of God. For years, I was a passenger in our car as we passed in Tryon a sign that went up, a road that went up a hill, said Tryon Country Club on it. I read that, and when I could read, I saw it. I wonder what kind of club that is. Tryon Country Club. I never even thought about it. Well, one day I lived there just about. I played golf there. But for a while, I had no idea. Once I acquired that knowledge, once I gained that knowledge, boy, did I ever apply it. That's what knowledge is to be used for. We apply it. And finally, look what knowledge leads to: spiritual wisdom and understanding. Note that the goal is not mere knowledge. James chapter 1, verse 22. Prove yourselves to be doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. So, when we see knowledge, we're not trying just to get knowledge. We're going to say how much we know, what kind of grade we made on a test. Knowledge is for doing. What good is it, James says, if you just hear and don't do? You look in the mirror and you don't see that you had a big smudge on your face. You just go on and go out in public with that. So you're not applying your knowledge. A lot of people know things about God. The Bible says that fools despise wisdom and instruction. People know things about God. They think things about God. They imagine things about God. But as far as wisdom and instruction and understanding, they hate it. They despise it. They'd rather be ignorant so they could claim some excuse for their behavior. Based on head knowledge, many people who believe they are Christians believe they're saved on the basis of head knowledge. The devil's got head knowledge. The devil knows the Lord that way. It goes into more than just knowledge. Knowledge is just the foundation. But real understanding is the goal. Understand the grasp is the start of a practical outworking of knowledge. There's a potential danger when people know without understanding. There are people that I would say know enough about computers to be dangerous. They know enough about computers to mess it all up. And my neighbor, who I work on her computer, she's always scuffing. Am I going to mess this up when I do this? And I tell her, no, you're not going to mess it up. But there are people who can really do it, mess it up. And, that's the way it is with knowledge. Some people have enough knowledge to mess things up. They don't understand what it's about. And there's a danger in that. People take the bare facts and they fail to connect all the tendrils to it. When I was a youth pastor back in my home church, one of the kids spread a rumor over the week that I was against women wearing makeup. That's what he said. And I made him read these verses the next Sunday. 1 Peter 3, verse 3, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. So that's the verse. The verse was that the women's beauty was not going to be based upon makeup. Now, women, you wear makeup if you want to. That's not what the verse is against. The verse is against having outward beauty being the only beauty you have. That your beauty is dependent upon what you put on your face. Now, I have to admit, I did not put makeup on this morning. I have a beard, and so I don't need to. Mike, we don't do that kind of stuff because we have beards. When I didn't have a beard, I also didn't put makeup on. But that's if women wear makeup. It's good. I know all about it. Foundation. I've heard about that. Blush. Heard about that. Lipstick. I know what that is. But I don't do it. So this guy was saying I was against that. I said, I'm not against that. I mean, that goes on. That's a good area, by the way, where people don't connect all the dots. You know, a lot of husbands see that part where it says about being submissive. They miss verse 7. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in understanding ways with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. The Lord tells husband, don't even pray if you mistreat your wife. You see, they don't connect all the dots. They don't bring everything together. So a little knowledge makes it bad. People do it with decisionism. People make a decision, they think they're saved. They make a decision. Yeah, I made a decision. Who cares about your decision? We're born again by the Holy Spirit. That's how we get saved. People do it with mystical interpretations. I don't understand a lot of things I'm hearing coming out of after the Pope died. Cindy told me that Franklin Graham said the Pope was in heaven. I can't imagine that in a million zillion years. How is that even possible? How do you do the math on that? She said another guy said cremation was wrong because it was a pagan ritual. Where is that in the Bible? I don't like to visit graves after we bury someone for a few years, but they're not in any good shape either. Everything goes to dust, and God brings it all back together. People make things up. People get twisted off somehow. I don't know. But we have to be aware of it. People have mystical interpretations. They twist a verse to make it mean anything they want to. That's not understanding. Understanding is actually grasping the knowledge. And then finally, wisdom is living it out. Living according to the grasp of knowledge and understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you fear the Lord, fear the Lord is what kids do in school when the teacher's in the room. They don't cut up like they do when the teacher's out of the room. Fear the Lord. Fear the teacher is the beginning of behavior. Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, Proverbs tells us. True knowledge encompasses understanding and wisdom. And it will keep you from falling into a ditch. It'll make you walk properly, carefully. And one last thing, a warning. And this warning must be heeded. I've been suggesting gently for some time that our young people pursue a greater knowledge of God in the Bible. Y'all remember that? Well, I didn't tell you everything about it. And I hope you've heeded my advice, because I have to tell you there's a time limit on it. I didn't bring it up before, but let me just read these verses and give you a warning with it. Because when I said learn, I didn't say when you got around to it. I meant right away. Proverbs 1:23. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. But get this. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me. And get this, I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge, spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. You young people, don't think that this is an open-ended forever thing. There's a time limit. And I don't know the time limit because God puts it, but there's a time limit. If you say, no, I'm not going to study the Bible, there's a time limit. You don't know how long you have to get wise. You don't know how long you have until you get in trouble because you're not wise, and you call on the Lord and he will not answer. He will not listen, because in his mind you have had your chance. Make sure that never happens to you. I like this poster I saw a long time ago. It's a poster of a little chicken, a really pretty chicken. I doubt they're that pretty when they're hatched, but just it hatched, standing beside an egg that had opened up, that we assume the chicken came out of, a little bitty thing. And the poster said, "What? Now what? Now what? You've hatched, now what? You got out of the egg, now what do you do?" Well, the Bible tells us to get it. Proverbs 4:7, the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom with all your acquiring, get understanding. You're out of the egg, get understanding. Proverbs 16:16, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. Proverbs 23:23, buy truth and do not sell it, get wisdom, instruction, understanding. You might want a car, get understanding. You might want to, hope you delay it a while. You might want to get married someday, you young people. I think I've seen a change over the years from I'm not ever getting married. I think some of them are thinking about it now. We all been there. I hope you get a good husband or wife, but one thing I know you're supposed to get is wisdom. You're supposed to get understanding. And you know how you're going to get it? You're going to get it on your own. Nobody's going to force feed it to you. Nobody's going to make you have it. You've got to do it yourself. You've got to decide. Your parents can lean on you, but, that won't work forever. Our parents can guide us. You've got to get it. Get it. Get it. You can get it. God tells us to get it. You must get it. We all must have it. Because the prayer is for every Christian, that the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Let's pray. Lord, I pray we would have the wisest young people of any church in this world, because, Lord, they seek you. And I pray, Lord, we would have the wisest post-youth people of any church, that we will carry wisdom and understanding and knowledge into our world around us, that we would live according to it, spread it, that others may also be wise, and, Lord, that we would be pleasing to you and know your will. In Jesus' name.